Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talent, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
And we want to hear the whole story.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
And Satnam, Satnam, that's my yoga greeting. Well, we got a great show lined up, great guests, and so we want to get started doing our joint rolling. Let's roll these joints. Why? Because we love ourselves. We love this body. And we want this body to be flexible and strong as long as we're on planet Earth, right? That's how I feel. I am an athlete because my dad was an athlete and he taught me the value of being an athlete. So that's why I'm here to inspire and promote joint rolling first and foremost. And then we talk about health and well-being the rest of the show, whatever it takes. My goal is to bring solutions. Most of you probably know what the problems are, and we're going to hear a lot about from our guest today on the hell she's been in the sick care system and how to overcome that. Because when you hear her journey, you have to have a lot of love and respect for her. She was planted on this earth right away, adopted by one of the most famous women of that time, a Dr. Dorothy Brown, who was the first black surgeon in the South. So we want to hear her story. I hope you'll stay tuned and share with your friends this link so that we can all learn from Lola Brown, her journey with a famous doctor, physician, mother, and what that taught her, and more importantly, the challenges that she's having today that she can overcome. I'm going to help her try and overcome some of these health challenges she's having, but she's had quite an interesting journey. So let's get busy. I know why you came here, to roll some joints and get high, 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 high on life. We're going to get high on life in the next three minutes or so. Wait a minute, time for healing. It's actually 6 minutes. 6 minutes of rolling joints and getting high. Let's do this together. Ooh, yeah. music just sounds horrible. Let me try again. Time for healing.
Healing through our home, through the family. push-up.
Woo, congratulations. You did it. You did it. And let's finally rub those hands together. Place them on the back of the neck and squeeze that vagus nerve. Love that vagus nerve. Massage the back of the neck where all those fibers are leading from your command center called your brain. Taking in a deep breath. You did a great workout for the whole body because those joints lubricated are now flowing. All that lymphatic fluid and blood is flowing freer through the joints now. Breathe in. Let's take a deep breath, deep breath. Give yourself a little pat on the arms and the shoulders and the chest. Pat, 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 pat. And you're doing great. You're doing great. All right, all right, all right. All right, we are ready now. Thank you for joining me for joint rolling. And we're going to go back into the studio and talk about health and well-being. That's what we're here for. And my guest will be calling in hopefully pretty soon. And we'll be doing our thing here this morning. All right, we're back in the studio. Thank you for joining me this morning. And I'm expecting a guest. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope that your week is going well and that you are flying, flying, flying. Fly is first love yourself. What does that mean to first love yourself? Well, I want to play, while we're waiting for our guest, I want to play a little Health 101 video or audio that reminds us of why we need to fly, first love yourself, because this vessel is so precious, so sacred. We forget just how sacred this vessel is. And so this little audio about your whole system, the whole system of how this body functions, and not how it functions, but what it's composed of. I just love this teaching, human, I call it Human Body 101. It's only about 5 minutes, but it's a reminder of how precious and how sacred this temple is and how everything in here is working together as a communication system. And I think this is important as we prepare to hear from Lola Brown about her journey in the sick care system and the challenges she's had trying to get her body well. So this, I call this Human Body 101. Let's listen and have more love for our body.
Work of cells, tissues, and organs.
Hold on, hold on. I didn't have that started. Okay, starting. We're going to listen to a little Human Body 101 before we hear from our guest who's going to really share the trauma, the challenges she's had going through a sick care system that doesn't have the respect that this video teaches us.
The human body is a complex network of cells, tissues, and organs that together make life possible. 10 major systems are responsible for the body's functions: skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, nervous, endocrine, lymphatic, respiratory, digestive, urinary, reproductive. The skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, and nervous systems in particular create an infrastructure that facilitates the other systems. The adult skeletal system is a framework of over 200 bones. They hold the body together, give it shape, and protect its organs and tissues. The skeleton also provides anchor points for the muscular system, which includes three types of muscles: skeletal, smooth, and cardiac. They are found throughout the body and facilitate movement. Nestled within these muscles is the cardiovascular system, a pipeline that includes the heart, blood vessels, and the blood itself. Also called the circulatory system, the cardiovascular system delivers oxygen, white blood cells, hormones, and nutrients throughout the body. Lastly, the nervous system is a communication network of nerve cells that the body uses to transmit information and coordinate bodily functions. It's comprised of the brain, the hub of sensory and intellectual activity, the spinal cord, and the many cranial and spinal nerves that emanate from them. This infrastructure, created by neurons, blood, muscles, and bones, allows three other systems to regulate the body's environment, the endocrine, lymphatic, and urinary systems. The endocrine system is a series of glands that use information carried by the nervous system to help regulate the body's processes. Thanks to this neural connection, endocrine glands, such as the thyroid, are aware of the amount of hormones and other chemicals they need to produce. These chemicals are then distributed throughout the body by way of the cardiovascular system. The cardiovascular and nervous systems are also utilized by the lymphatic system, a collection of lymph nodes and vessels that help regulate the body's defenses. Also called the immune system, the lymphatic system uses neural pathways to transmit information about affected areas of the body and then sends out healing agents like white blood cells via the bloodstream. Another key regulatory system is the urinary system, which includes the kidneys, ureters, bladder, and urethra. The urinary, or renal system, maintains the body's electrolyte levels and filters waste from the blood. This waste is sent through the blood vessels into the kidneys and then expelled as urine. All of these systems require energy to function, and that's where the respiratory and digestive systems come in. The respiratory system is a group of passageways and organs that extracts life-giving oxygen from the air we breathe. Air enters the body through nasal cavities, travels down the throat, and is then transported to the lungs. The lungs extract oxygen for the body to use and then expel a carbon dioxide byproduct when we exhale. Energy can also come in the form of food. The digestive system is an approximately 30-foot series of organs that convert food into fuel. Food enters the system through the mouth, then moves into the esophagus, the stomach, and the intestines. Nutrients are absorbed into the body while solid waste is expelled through the anal canal, the end of the digestive tract. No matter the role, size, or shape of any of the body's systems, each began with the reproductive system. This system is responsible for creating life. The primary organs involved differ between the sexes, with ovaries, fallopian tubes, the uterus, and vagina found in women, and testes and a sperm channel found in men. Together, fertilization may occur, organ systems form, and then a child is born. Humans are complicated organisms, but when our 10 major organ systems are healthy, they ensure our well-being.
That audio, in my mind, and hopefully in yours, is a reminder of this advanced communication system that our soul dwells in. Our soul dwells in a communication system, a biological computer that is the most sophisticated computer on the planet. So I, for one, just have so much respect for this computer that nowadays I'm just more and more careful about what I put in my mouth to start that digestive communication, because I realize even my eyes are affected by what I eat. Yes, yes, yes. Yesterday my eyes were just felt horrible. They were itchy. They were scratched. They were just so uncomfortable. And I had more floaters in my eyes. And what did I have the day, night before? I had at the late hour some popcorn. Popcorn is just going to do me in. I love popcorn, but I realized that yesterday how much it does not like my eyes. My eyes don't like popcorn. So I'm back to feeling clarity in my eyes. My eyes feel more comfortable. And I realized just how much food affects dead food, processed food. And popcorn, you got to admit, is one of the most processed foods in the world. But I like the crunchiness. But I found some alternatives yesterday because I realized, what did I eat? What did I eat? Popcorn. Yeah, it was the popcorn. So I'm back to a more live food diet. My eyes feel better this morning. That's the way this advanced communication system works. It talks to us about what we're putting in our mouth and what we're putting in our head. So we're waiting for our guest, Lola Brown. And in the meantime, we have a caller who's pressed one. So while we're waiting, and then after that, we'll play a little audio about my guest and her mother. Her mother was extremely famous back in the 60s and 70s. And we want to hear from Dorothy, or we want to hear from Lola about her journey in this sick care system. After growing up in a home where your mother was learning all about the sick care system and how to, especially as a surgeon, you know, we joke in the holistic health care field about the cut, burn, poison system. And Dr. Dorothy Brown was the cutting part. She was really big on the cutting part, the surgeon part. So we're going to hear from her daughter, Lola, about what that was like to live in a home where your mother really focused on surgery as a solution, probably drugs as a solution, and then today how Lola is struggling in that system to just be out of pain. So let me go to the phones because we have someone who... Today, yeah. Raise your hand, press 1. 773-221, your mic is open.
Yes, the World Order Baha'u'llah says, regard the world as the human body, though created whole and perfect, yet it was afflicted with diverse ills and maladies, not for one day did it rest. It's important that people have a consciousness of the fact that Gaia, Mother Earth, is herself a living organism. And there is a connection between our human persons and that of the planet itself that we are designed to live on. And Jesus Christ of Nazareth exhorted his disciples to be as gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents. The snakes and vipers of the World Health Organization and World Economic Forum variety trying to be the arbiters of global governance. But that job is for the Universal House of Justice and the Baha'i Administrative Order. And I think international human rights attorneys such as Reiner Fuhlmich and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Thomas Renz, R-E-N-Z, should challenge this pandemic treaty that the World Economic Forum is trying to formulate so they can rationalize being the arbiters of global governance. And I have an alternative to that, and I'm eager to get in contact with these international human rights attorneys so that we can proffer the divinely ordained system of global governance rather than allow the satanic, new world order to come into effect.
Thank you. That's Nelson in Chicago, right? Is this Andrew Nelson, right? Thank you, Andrew Nelson. You know, the case has begun against all those Fauci and cohorts for crimes against humanity. I don't know if you've seen the video where the attorney Fulmeyer, I think you mentioned his name, has brought his introduction. And that case has started for crimes against humanity. And they have, like, I don't know how many witnesses, expert witnesses, scientists, doctors lined up to testify on our behalf against the crimes against humanity that have been perpetrated for the last 2 years. So, yeah, I pray, and I don't know, it's in some international court, and so they've got, I know his introduction was about how many witnesses they were bringing, expert witnesses they were bringing to show how these were crimes against humanity, and that we should put Fauci and company in jail. And so we just pray that they are successful in the efforts they're making to bring to justice the criminals who have perpetrated this corona madness for the last 2 years. So are you aware of my guest, Lola Brown, or her mother, Dr. Dorothy Brown? Are you familiar with Dr. Dorothy Brown?
No, I'm not, but I would like to see this Nuremberg-style war crime tribunal that's in the works right now. Is there a website or something I can go to find that?
I have no idea. You know, if you're on Telegram, are you on Telegram?
No.
Okay, if you join Telegram, I could probably send you something from there, because that's where I get this type of information about the crimes against humanity and Fulmeyer and company is on Telegram. I get Dr. Christian Northrup is one of the main people that I'm connected with on Telegram, and she sends out all kinds of information, as well as other very enlightened and people on that Telegram source who are sharing this type of information. So if you go and join Telegram on your phone, you can join on your phone as an app, put that app on your phone, and then send me a notice. Then I'll send you the video that I received. Actually, are you on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay. I actually got, I think I got that video of Fulmeyer presenting the case maybe on Facebook Messenger. I mean, I can't remember where I saw it, but I think it was either Telegram or Facebook Messenger. So I could share that with you on one of those platforms. In the meantime, what's that?
I need to see that.
Okay. So I'll try and find that for you today, late after the show. And then meanwhile, I'm waiting for my guest, Lola Brown. And if she doesn't come in after the break, then I have a couple audios that will introduce her story and her mother. Her mother was extremely popular. She was born in 1919. And then in 1956, I believe, she adopted Lola Brown. And then the rest is all a story and history for Lola to tell when she shows up. So we're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we hope our guests will be here. If not, I've got an audio. I always have backup in case guests get delayed. But we're going to take a commercial break. And then we're going to share with you who Dr. Dorothy Brown is, and her mother. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
And we're going to continue.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships, my introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Propaganda is still coming at us. I read an article yesterday, Moderna Big Farm is trying to get approved a COVID vaccine for children 5 and under. Oh boy. So the drama, the propaganda, and the evil ways of Big Pharma continue. Why in the world would we want to give children at this stage another vaccine? Do you know how many vaccines children get every year just to and are required to have to go to public school? And autism is off the chain. We have autism spectrums everywhere. And so this show is really about educating you and helping you make decisions about this temple, this advanced communication system, especially for our children, because they're trying, I believe, the big pharma industry, the government, is using every tool in the book to weaken this generation and for some reason reduce the population. Why on earth would they want to do that? Well, control, control, control. We got a bunch of narcissists running the world, the globe, the governments of the world. So that's why I'm here to educate and inspire and motivate you to take charge of your health, take charge of your own health. We do not have people in charge of the government or the sick care system, as you will hear from Lola Brown this morning. We don't have people in charge of these systems, running these systems, working in this system that have your best interest at heart. So while my guest is preparing, I just talked to her. She's getting ready. And while she's preparing, I want to introduce you to her mother, for one, who was Dr. Dorothy Brown. This was a woman who was born in 1919. And became a superstar in the medical system because she was one of the first Black women to become a surgeon and practice medicine in the South. I believe it was Nashville, Tennessee area. And then our guest, Lola Brown, is from Nashville, and she was a singer until her career was ruined by the medical system pretty much and their treatment of her health challenges. But here's a little clip about Dr. Dorothy Brown, the first black surgeon.
I was told, well, so you add it up, and it just cannot be done. You're a girl, you're black, you're poor, and it just can't be done. I didn't pay any attention to that. I just kept right on dreaming my dreams. I was going to be a doctor. I was going to have on a white gown and a white hat, I said, and a white something on my face, and I was going to be a cutting doctor. When I was 13, my biological mother came and took me out of the orphanage. She told me that you have enough education now. You have to do like the other colored girls do in Troy. And I went into domestic work.
But after work, Dorothy kept at her dream studying in secret in a closet by the light of a 60-watt bulb. Abandoned by her mother again, she was taken in by an elderly couple, the Redmonds.
I was 16 years old when that family accepted me. And they were poor people. And they both told me that they loved me. And they said, the only thing we want you to do is stay in school and behave yourself. That wasn't hard. And I lived with them, and they were the only real parents that I ever knew.
In 1959, Dorothy accepted the position of chief of surgery at Riverdale Hospital in Nashville. She was the first African-American woman to serve in Tennessee's General Assembly. Dorothy still makes house calls and continues her association with the orphanage that raised her.
I went back to the orphanage where I had been as a child. And I talked to the children, and I told them that you never feel sorry for yourself because you had to be placed in an orphanage, that you were just as good as anybody else, and you could be just as big and just as famous, but you had to have a dream, and then you had to stick with that dream and really make it come true. I understand that I've been traveling on God's highway. Because for no other reason did things mesh like they mesh for me.
So that testimony, I think, is a beautiful example of why every person's journey is precious. She said God put all that together in her life, from being an orphan to being adopted, to wanting, having a passion to be a doctor, to wear the white robe, the white hat, and to cut. She had a desire to cut on people, open people up and do surgery. So I am sure Dr. Dorothy Brown saved a lot of lives. And I would imagine back during the time when she was a doctor that there may have been less emphasis on drugs to heal people than there is today. So we want to honor Dr. Dorothy Brown today in our conversation, in recognizing that as the first African American surgeon, she had a divine hand on her life to learn a skill that was needed during that time to save lives or to help people get better. And her journey as an African-American woman presented a lot of young people, like her daughter, with the inspiration and motivation to do better, right? When you see someone like her or Barack Obama or any person who's in the limelight and they are being seen by young African-American children who might have been in poverty or any children who were in poverty, then hopefully we know that inspires young people to do better and to work hard and to become sometimes what their parents become or not. But Lola Brown, my guest today, was a musician. She was a singer, and she had a love for music. So interesting how her life turned out, even though her mother, Dr. Dorothy Brown, and she actually, Lola was adopted by Dr. Dorothy Brown. She was one of the first women to adopt, a single woman to adopt a young child. So we're going to hear, I'm going to play another audio about with her daughter, Lola,
sharing her sharing giving a speech about her that was for an award that was or was given to her or was awarded to her mother. So we're going to hear from now Lola Brown, the daughter of Dr. Dorothy Brown.
So let's get started and begin our induction ceremony. And we'll start with the late Dr. Dorothy Lavinia Brown. Born in Pennsylvania, Dr. Brown spent her youth at a New York orphanage. After graduating at the top of her class, she attended Bennett College and Meharry Medical College to fulfill her life's dream of becoming a doctor. Dr. Brown went on to intern at Harlem Hospital in New York City, but was rejected for a surgical residency because of her race and gender. After turning to longtime chief of surgery at Meharry, Dr. Matthew Walker, Dr. Brown was offered a faculty position she held for more than 20 years. She went on to become the first woman to practice general surgery in the South, chief of surgery at Nashville's Riverside Hospital, the first African-American woman fellow of the American College of Surgeons, and the first African-American woman representative to the Tennessee State Legislature. She also contributed to social services in Nashville. She became the first single adoptive mother in Tennessee and worked to pass a law that allowed single women to adopt children throughout the state. I'm proud to say that I went to school with her daughter, Lola, and Paul Smith is going to present Dr. Dorothy Brown's daughter, Lola Denise Brown, with this award. Please welcome them. I should just say that Paul Smith is the president of Division 3 of Operations at CHS. Thanks, Paul.
This is Lola Brown coming up to speak.
Good morning. First, I would like to thank the selection committee for the Tennessee Healthcare Society. And also, I would like to thank President Bob Fisher, the president of Belmont. Born on January 7, 1908, she was not allowed to be born in a hospital because she was black. That made it seem as if she did not exist. Yet against all odds, she made it. Can you imagine being made to look like you do not exist just because the color of your skin is black? I was told how she was invited twice overseas to speak to troops in Germany, and she almost did not make it because she was not given a birth certificate when she was born. Yet she went on a diplomatic visa to speak to 32 generals of the U.S. Army about race relations. She was more than just a doctor. For she worked under under President Jimmy Carter's administration with Secretary of Health Joe Califano and Sandra Harris, now deceased, and helped them understand what this nation and its people needed during that time when health care was still only a dream to some of the black residents in Nashville, Tennessee. So, I say, for someone who did not exist, from her humble beginnings, she was discouraged and told being a doctor could not be done. You're a girl, you're black, you're poor. It was something we women were often told when we aspired to be more than just barefoot and pregnant. Are we headed back to those days? For someone who did not exist, she heard "I love you" for the very first time by Lola and Samuel Redmond, whom I called Grandma and Grandpa. They just wanted her to stay in school, out of trouble, and get an education. For someone who did not exist, she realized with all she had gone through, she had been traveling on God's highway. because on that road, for no other reason than God, these things could not have meshed together and turned out the way they did for her. For someone who did not exist, she was able to change the face of medicine and the life of others who came close to living the same kind of story she lived. And for someone who did not exist, she found a little girl like me and returned the favor by bringing me up and showing me and telling me that things that she loved me and that nothing and no one would ever be able to change that. Some tried, but it did not work, because I stand here before you today to say thank you for honoring my mother with this posthumous award, but mostly the woman whom God placed in my life to make me realize it can be done. Thank you.
Now that was Lola Brown speaking. She's my guest today, and I just spoke with her about 10 minutes ago. She's getting ready. And what a passionate speech about her mother. And as you heard, a little emotion around the idea of being adopted by the most famous Dr. Dorothy Brown. And so when I hear words like healthcare was only a dream for African Americans back then. Her mother was born in 1908. So my grandmother was born my grandmother was born in 1908, around the same period of time, actually, because my dad was born in 1924. So my dad's mother, and my grandmother and Dr. Dorothy Brown came up in the same period, time period. And so let us think about the time period that these women were born in, raised in, where their thought was healthcare was only a dream. Really interesting. Now, I wrote a book about my dad, and his stories in that period were like, the black hospital was many miles away. In fact, it was across the river in New Orleans when he was young. He was younger than 9 years old, because he left New Orleans when he was nine. But the black hospital was located across the river in this town where he lived near New Orleans, so that you could die. You could die just waiting to get to the hospital, because you couldn't go to any local hospitals nearby, but the hospitals were so far away that you were risking death just waiting to get there. So these women that we're talking about, Dr. Dorothy Brown, my grandmother, healthcare was only a dream, they said. Now, today, we're going to hear from Lola Brown. And today, what is, quote, healthcare? Healthcare is about doctors prescribing a bunch of drugs. And when I first talked to my guest a couple of days ago, she was sharing how this drug fentanyl was being used in her case to help her deal with the pain she was in from her cancer treatments and so much more, and that she was really shocked to learn about the fentanyl pad that they put on her body, how much it affected her. It actually affected her lungs. Now, when you've had chemotherapy in the past, chemotherapy weakens many parts of the body. So a person who goes through chemotherapy and then later in life has other problems or challenges, putting on a fentanyl
a pad on your arm or your skin, a transdermal type medicine, can affect you in many, many ways. So what Lola told me was that this fentanyl caused her to have breathing problems. She'd never had any breathing problems. In fact, her breathing was so affected she couldn't even sing anymore. This is Lola Brown's testimony to me a couple of days ago. And I think because she had had chemo treatment a year or two before, that her breathing was affected because the lungs were weakened from possibly the chemo that was given to her. So when we think about, and my point is this, when we think about what Lola said in her speech about her mother being this great doctor, and healthcare was only a dream, and her mother had the desire to be a doctor to make that dream a reality in people's lives. But healthcare, you know, today it's sick care system. And we are building a new healthcare system. And you, when you hear Lola's story, you will understand some of the reasons why we need to build a new healthcare system. But to say that her mother and my grandmother, people like that, believed back in the early 1900s that healthcare was only a dream. Think about the system. Compare the system in the 1900s to the systems of today. I mean, Obamacare made it this quote healthcare system available to everybody. If you can afford to pay insurance, and even if you can't, you can go into an emergency room and get treatment with drugs, right? That's the basic care in this current quote healthcare system is drugs. And as Lola shared with me, the drug fentanyl was used to, it was administered to her to help her deal with the pain, and it caused her to, it affected her breathing. So the question we're asking this morning is, what is really health care and what is really sick care, and how is the sick care a breach of trust, and how we need to be advocates for ourselves, especially when we go into, if you go into a hospital, you better advocate for yourself. And that's what Lola shared with me about her journey in the hospital system, the medical sick care system, was that she had to really pay attention to just fentanyl, this very dangerous pain medication that's killing people. It's an opiate. It's the opiate crisis, part of the opiate crisis. And yet you have doctors today administering fentanyl pads to people to help them in their pain. And then many people are dying from fentanyl. And yet my guest Lola Brown's testimony was that she couldn't even breathe after they put this pad on her. So hopefully she's going to be here shortly and show and share that story. But I was like shocked to hear all that this woman is going through, especially being the adopted child of a very famous Dr. Dorothy Brown, whose belief was that she wanted to make the dream of healthcare come true for many African Americans in her day. And we're talking the 1908, she was born 20, 30 years later. We're talking about the 1930s, 40s, 50s, where this woman was very active administering drugs and surgery. Now, Dr. Dorothy Brown was a surgeon, and that was her goal. And according to her, God's highway put her in that path and helped her perform in that field of surgery. And so she was on the roll. She was on God, quote, what she said, God's highway, cutting people open and helping them get rid of their disease, I guess. When people do surgery, when doctors cut you open, what are they doing? They're taking stuff out usually, right? They're cutting you open, taking out the bad stuff, getting rid of it. and then sewing you back up and sending you home to heal, right? That's a surgeon's performance and his role, their role, her role in this case. Cut open the patient, fix what's broken. And Mama AZ is a perfect, Mama AZ, who's one of our frequent callers, a perfect example of the surgeon pathway, the surgery pathway. She's had, I don't know how many, over 30-some surgeries in her lifetime. And this last one was major, major, major surgery. And so I don't know why people calling me on my phone. Please don't call me on my phone when I'm on the show. So Mama AZ, back to Mama AZ, I was distracted by a phone call. Mama AZ has been a testimony of truth and for her journey about being in a surgeon's pathway, in a surgeon's domain, if you will, so that when you have a surgeon in charge of cutting you open, putting you in anesthesia and all that, that's a process that is, you're in the divine hands of the universe, whether you're going to make it or not, right? So the pathway that a surgeon takes on the, on quote, God's highway, she said, is one of really divine order that we can learn something. I think. And Lola Brown will be here shortly to help us see what we can learn from her mother's journey. And Mama AZ has already shown us this doctor actually probably saved her life in as a surgeon. You need surgeons sometimes to keep you on the planet, right? I think Mama AZ would agree with that. A surgeon cutting open, removing the bad, the stuff that's trying to take you out of here and that's causing you a lot of pain. A surgeon opens you up and helps get rid of the items in there, the toxins, the material in there, the tumors. I mean, many times we have people cutting you open to just take out growths that have occurred in your body. And so we can be very grateful. I think at this point we can be very grateful for Dr. Dorothy Brown, Mama AZ's surgeon, all these men and women who trained to do this skill of cutting open the human body, fixing what's broken in there, whether it's a bone or whatever, and then sewing it back up and allowing the advanced communication system to heal itself now. And it really, at this point, after the surgeon stitches you up and closes up the body, it's your role now. You're in charge. It's your charge now. It's your responsibility now to take charge and become an advocate for yourself and do whatever you need to do to continue your assignment on planet Earth and love yourself even more. I think anybody who goes through surgery has a duty to love themselves even more after that, because the Creator kept you on the planet for a reason. And you have a job now to share that experience, share that knowledge, and keep the assignment rolling, keep the journey going if you choose, and do better. If you know better, you do better, as they say. And so we're in a place now, if you've ever had any surgery, to do better with your body, help that body to heal. I know so many people have had surgery and you would never know it because they take such good care of their body and especially the mind. It's time to do more meditation, more breathing when you go through surgery. And I hope that Lola will be able to come and share that journey that she's had after all the surgery, chemo, and therapies that they have inflicted on her. So we're going to take our next break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, We understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Health is not just an absence of disease. Health means, the word health comes from the word whole. When an individual human being feels complete physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that's when health is. When the life within you is bouncing with vibrance, when the life within you is effervescent, that's when health happens. If we have to build this into a human being, this has to happen at the earliest time in his life. If healthful living, how a human being can live healthy, what he should consume, what should be the nature of his practice, and different aspects of how he should sleep, how he should wake up, all these things were built into our culture in the past. But in the last generation, we have distorted this heavily because of certain Western influences, which are only about treating the disease, not about creating health from within. Nobody can give us health. Health is our responsibility. This has to be brought into our curriculum, that every child in this country should learn how to generate health for himself. Not wait for a healthcare system to help him later in his life, but he must become the main healthcare provider for himself, because health can only be organized from within. The earlier it is introduced, the better it is. It is important that we, as a nation, all that we have is a large mass of people, these 1.25 billion people. If we have a healthful, focused and inspired population, we as a nation can become a miracle. If we have an unhealthy population, which will naturally be uninspired, and not ready for action kind of population, we can become the greatest disaster. Right now, India is moving towards this disaster rapidly. It is time to turn it around by bringing healthful ways of living at the earliest point in one's life, so the school systems, the education system has to introduce as to how a human being can live healthy. This has to happen to this country because large-scale movement towards ill health is happening, and it is something that we can ill afford. It is not something that this nation can handle. The richest nations in the world, like United States of America, their health bills are sinking their economy. We need not move in that way. Right now, we have a youthful population, but not very healthy. It's time we bring health and manifestation of health into our school systems and make it work for us as a nation.
All right, we're back. I've been trying to communicating with my guest. She's having trouble getting into the studio. So I am going to call her from the studio and see if that works, because we do have technology is great, but some people struggle with technology. So let me just try and call my guest. From the studio, and because I'm texting her and sending her the link, and let's see if this works. I'm dialing her number now, and we'll see if we can get her on the phone. Oh, there she is. Okay, let me hang up. Okay, let me hang up because I see you now on.
Yes, I'm going to hang up. I'm going to hang up.
Okay, good. Because I see you now in the studio. Oh, you're on live stream. All right. There she is. Beautiful. Thank you. How
good
are you?
Good morning. It was a rough night trying to go to sleep. It's really weird because when I know I have something to do, I can't sleep, especially if I'm excited about talking about something. I just can't sleep.
Well, welcome, Lola. It's a pleasure. And we've got an echo.
That's okay.
But we'll go forward.
I don't have one on my end.
Do you have any other devices open?
No, just this one.
Okay, do you have any earplugs you can use? Because I can hear an echo. And my guests are probably hearing an echo. But we'll just let you talk. If you can't find earplugs, don't worry about it. Are you on your phone?
Yes.
Okay, that might be it.
But
Lola, I played an audio about your mom. And heard a little bit of about the history of your mom. So I'm going to let you talk for a while about your journey.
Last night I was wondering
who names their daughter Lola, but I found an audio that explained. Your mom's foster mother, I guess, was named Lola. Is that correct?
Her foster mom, yes.
Yes, okay. So why don't you go ahead and share with our audience what it was like to be raised by such a famous person, and then how you became developed a love for music, and then your journey with the... current health challenges you're having.
Okay. Let me.
Uh-oh, we lost her. Okay, this is technology for you. She's gone now. Let me try and call her back again because We lost her on the phone. And we want her. Okay, you're back. I'm going to add you. Okay, you're back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead, sister.
Okay, well, it was a lot of fun, per se. But you always had people looking at you, and you had people angry because you were there, because they're not getting her money anymore.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my mom, she was a very personable person. She loved people. She loved having friends. She was from upstate New York. Grandma and grandpa, they were the best. I used to love going upstate and to Troy, New York, to see them all the time. When I was little, grandpa died when I was four, and grandma died 4 years later. So going to see them was out of the question. I would see my sister, siblings. I would also see my mom's real dad's family as well, because they were both, they were both kind of somehow dead. I don't know. I really didn't communicate with them. But being a child of kind of this person, it's a lot of fun, but you have a lot of things that happen along the way that where her friends would be telling her what to do with me, you should do this with her, and all this other kind of stuff. I've always been a musical person. But I was also a rebel as well.
Ah, good for you.
I was crazy. And I really wasn't that bad of a kid or anything like that. But I did some things that normal kids do. I mean, I was a normal kid. I ended up between the age of 10 and 13 being molested by a pastor who no one believed was doing it to me, not even my own mom. And so that caused a huge problem for me and caused me to begin to act out. I began acting out sexually, and I was just kind of lost, because she was at a loss for why I was doing this. She didn't understand it, even though she was a doctor. But my mom was a general surgeon, so psychology or psychiatry was not her forte. I remember one time she brought a psychiatrist over, a male one, and I was about 12 years old, and I must have scared the Jesus out of him. He was Indian. He probably went back to Hinduism by the time I finished with him. he was good looking. I have to say, he was really, really good looking. I was about 12 years old, and he said, "And how are you?" I said, "I'm as fine as you look." This is how I was talking when I was 12, you know. And he kind of took him back that I said something like that, and he kept asking me all kinds of questions. And I looked at him. I said, "Look," I said, "I'm a real intelligent person." I said, "And I know what you're doing." I said, "And I appreciate you trying to help my mom with me." I said, "But I know you're a psychiatrist. And whatever it is you want to ask me," I said, "I'll tell you." I said, "But I want you to understand you're not going to get the best of me." because I don't like psychiatrists. And he told my mom, he said, there's really nothing wrong with her, and she's very intelligent, and I'm going to leave her alone. So anyway, that was the beginning of my being a troublemaker, a rebel. I ended up with 6 kids out of wedlock.
Listen, sister. Wedlock to me is the divine energy created 6 beautiful souls on earth. So we love you. Go ahead. I understand what you're saying, but that's old traditional conversation.
Yeah,
that
it is.
You were blessed. You were blessed with 6 children, and sex is what it is, was, and now we're moving in the redefining spiritual energy exchange. You know, before you came on, sister, I was talking about healthcare was only a dream, you said, for your mother. Your mother, you, on one of your speeches, you said your mother thought healthcare was only a dream, and she wanted people to have that dream come true. But healthcare today is not what it was then, and neither is sex, whatever. But so we appreciate. Go ahead. I'm going to let you keep going because we need to hear your story. This is a very powerful story because you're bringing up childhood trauma, which is the root of all diseases. You know, I don't know if you realize that. Your childhood trauma is at the root of all the health struggles you've had. So go ahead, sister. Yes.
Like I said, I have 6 kids, 6 beautiful kids, 5 boys, and my youngest is a daughter. She was the only girl. All I wanted was 1 boy and 1 girl, and I ended up with 5 boys and 1 girl. And the thing is that it wasn't an intention to basically sleep around or anything like that. But that was how I covered up my pain.
Oh, bless you.
You know, I just wanted somebody to love me.
Oh, bless you. Yeah, that's so common.
And that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I see it in my daughter. She has 4 kids. She's 25. And she's here with me with 2 of the kids. But
Are you writing a book? Are you writing a book?
No, my mother wrote one, and I have someone who is turning it into either a documentary or a movie.
I would love to read your book, honey. You need to write a book. Anyway, think about it. Put that in the back of your mind. Go ahead.
I will. I promise. I will. A lot of people have told me that. I guess I really need to.
Yeah, keep that in the back of your mind. I don't want to put any pressure on you, but your book is already very interesting.
Yeah, I know. I really need to, as my best friend Charlene tells me, she says, you need to send me tapes every day. But the only thing, she's my POA if anything happens to me. I got married twice. The first time to her brother, and that didn't work. And the second time to my best friend in high school, and he really didn't work.
Okay, that's called Marriage 101 and 102. We move on to the next class. Keep going, sister.
One man likes to hit and the other man likes other women. You know, so neither one of them worked.
Class 101 and 102. Keep going.
Yeah.
That's why you need to write a book, sister.
But when I was a little girl at the age of 4, I used to travel with my mom to Mount Bayou, Mississippi. And in Mount Bayou, black people were not allowed to see doctors. They weren't allowed in the hospitals. We're talking about Mississippi, and we're not talking about Tennessee. We're talking about, like, Mississippi, Alabama. But Mississippi was the worst. And whenever we would go down there, you could still see the sharecroppers' houses, and sometimes you can still see where they were if they're still standing. But I remember one time she went to the only hospital that they had, and they were just floored that she was there. And I, of course, I had to wait. They had to watch me and surgery and everything. And it was really crazy. But she did what she had to do, and she gave Black people hope down there as far as healthcare is concerned. We didn't have insurance. A lot of us didn't have insurance. A lot of us only knew how to pay for what we received through the barter system. And for people who don't know what the barter system is, my mother did surgery and we got a meal. You know, that's just the way it was. I didn't miss a meal. You saw my whole body, you could say, no, you did not miss any meal.
Look at the divine intervention in that. The Creator gave your mother a skill, a tool to help feed you. How about that one? You know, we don't think about that today. Bartering was very, very important. I think it still is. If you got a skill, you're going to eat. All right, keep going, sister. I love this book you're writing.
It was. And so anyway, I remember going down. They would invite her to come to their churches and speak. At the age of one, I was reading. My mom told me that she noticed I was reading because she had been reading to me since 6 months. And a little bit after I had turned one, she said she went to read a book to me. And I said, oh, no, mommy, I'm going to read it to you. And I pointed to each word and read the book.
Wow.
And she said she was just floored. And reading is good. I think reading is really good for kids 6 months, beginning at 6 months, because even though their attention span is not that great, it's still good enough for them to hear.
Absolutely.
And watch and point to the word.
Yes.
So they would invite my mom down to their church, and we would eat. As you can tell, that's one of my favorite things to do is to eat. And like one of my granddaughters, she loves to eat, and she likes my cooking too. And so anyway, I remember this man up in the pulpit, and the Bible was there. He opened it up, he turned it upside down, and then he opened it up. He had ink pens and pencils in his lapel, going across his lapel, and he said, "We will now read out of Pislam X." Do you know what Pislam X is?
Not at all.
Psalm 10.
Oh.
And I knew this. And how I knew that, I don't know.
It's like Latin or something. College. It sounds like Latin.
No, Pislam is Psalm, P-S-L-A-M. Pislam.
Right, but the way you're pronouncing it sounds like Latin or something. Where did he get Pislam from?
X is the 10.
Right, right.
Pislam X. Pislam. And he had the whole verse memorized.
Wow, yeah, okay.
And this was our people reverencing God. I've always noticed how our people reverence God. When I was 13, after I left the church where I was being touched, I started going to the church up the street from our house, Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, where, God rest his soul, Reverend Moses Herring and his wife, Lady Bird Herring, were pastor and, as they say, first lady of the church. And I knew I was special then. I knew God's hand was on me then, but I just couldn't understand it. And because I couldn't understand it, I just say the devil had his way with me. I smoked. I tried to smoke weed, but that didn't work. That made me feel too funny. I even tried to do drugs, and that didn't work. I just couldn't. I'm just not the type of person that can do stuff like that. We're getting back to the health part again. Go ahead.
I was going to say forgiveness is a big part of our healing, and I want to ask, have you forgiven yourself for all these things that you've done that you maybe feel uncomfortable about?
I really don't think I have. I think they need to be sorted out. And if you put one here and then one there and then one here, and you'll say, oh, right here, did you forgive yourself for that? I think, oh, that was nothing. You understand? And then, well, what about right here? I really don't want to talk about that. Well, how about that one over there? You know, and it's more or less like, you know, so are you the psychiatrist, like, that was trying to talk to me when I was 12? I'm very, very quick-witted with a lot of things. I've got kids like that. Oh, Jesus. I cannot say that I have. I can probably say I may have for some things that were easy to forgive myself for. But the one thing I have not been able to forgive myself for was allowing my mom's best friend to be her POA, and she took everything and my living away from me, which left my children with nothing.
What's a POA?
Power of attorney.
Oh, duh. Wow. Okay, that's huge. Okay. We'll get back to that, but go ahead with your current journey the last, what, 5 or 6 years with your health. See, you have just laid the foundation of why you have all the health challenges you have right now.
Yes.
Forgiveness is huge to contribute to disease. So share with us, please, what you have gone through in the last, what, 5 years with your health challenges, and especially the fentanyl part. We want to get to that eventually.
Well, in 2018, December of 2018, I went to my mom's alma mater, which is General Hospital at Meharry.
Oh, dear, drama. Oh, dear.
she graduated from Meharry Medical College. And they just recently changed the hospital to General at Meharry, maybe 10 years ago, maybe a little earlier, and I just didn't pay attention because I always called it Meharry Hospital. But I went there, and my pulmonologist, who is a white doctor, and I wouldn't be going to him if it had not been for my PCP, who's black. He trusted him immensely. He kept telling me, he said, Lola, he said, I need to have you checked out for lung cancer. Oh, you know, I said, Doc, I ain't got no lung cancer. Come on now. Don't start that mess with me. No cancer. No cancer. So I finally submitted one day. He said, Lola, he said, I want to do a biopsy. Well, the guy that did the biopsy over at the hospital was a Vanderbilt doctor whom I had been kind of talking against that hospital. Vanderbilt is a hospital that would like to overtake Meharry Medical College's role in Nashville, Tennessee. Of course, as all white businesses or whatever you want to call them would the simple fact that they do not want us independent of them. And this is what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's what happened here. That's why we're being seriously gentrified now. But anyway, back to, and he did a birth thesis. Everybody's calling me this morning, of course, now that I have something to do. I'm usually not up this early. But anyway,
lung cancer.
I went in. They were supposed to be giving me anesthesia, and I'm looking at a sea of white people in there where I'm at, and I understood what he was going to do to me. I can give you the whole procedure, which I'm not going to do, but he ended up going through the floor to do a biopsy of my lung, and he couldn't get anything, but they didn't give me any anesthesia. They didn't relax me, and I would not go back for him to do it. So I ended up going to, I kept having problems with this right lung, and I couldn't understand why, and I thought it was because the doctor of radiology had screwed my lung up some kind of way and made it collapse, and I could feel it when it would collapse, and still can today. Well, they did a biopsy at another hospital, St. Thomas West. I thank God for them, and told me you have stage 3 lung cancer. And this was June 13th, 2019. I was getting ready to say 1919. That was way back close to when my mom was born. And I got the diagnosis. I started radiation immediately and then went in for chemo and immunotherapy. It didn't take long for it to go into remission. I was diagnosed June 13, 2019. My mother passed away June 13, 2004. I went into remission January 7th, 2020, and my mother's birthday was January 7th, 1940. So I figured she's looking out after me some kind of way. Then I ended up with brain cancer. They blasted that out with radiation, and now I'm on immunotherapy twice a month. Two bags, one week, and 3 weeks later, one bag. And then 3 weeks later, two bags. And then 3 weeks later, one bag, you know. Everybody's talking to me now. Am I still echoing?
No, it's fine.
That's crazy. I put this thing in. It's not working in my ear, but you're telling me everything is just fine, but that's fine.
We can hear you fine.
Okay. So this is basically what I've been going through. Now, this year, I decided to move down two floors. I have in 2021, January, I came down with COVID. I was asymptomatic. I didn't go to any of the white hospitals to be tested. And I went to my mom's alma mater, Meharry. And I got tested, and they sent the test in. And I got the test back the first week in January, and I said, well, I've got a quarantine for 2 weeks. And I did that. No sooner than I did that, I started having dizziness problems. I had no side effects with the chemo whatsoever, at least I didn't think I did, or with the immunotherapy. And for a long time, I didn't have to worry about anything. come January, January of this year, I moved into another apartment in the complex that I'm in, and they only gave me 2 days to move, which when we have a meeting about it, I think today, I plan on bringing that up because my tenant rights were violated. I should have had at least 30, but anyway. I basically started having dizziness problems last year, and when I moved into the apartment, it was to help with the dizziness. I moved from the 8th floor to the 5th floor. Because they gave me the 2 days, the inner ear problem that I had got worse. And I basically fell out in my own apartment with nobody around. I have been having dizzy problems. So at the end of February, I started having problems, or at the beginning of February, I started having problems with my left lung. And come to find out, it was pleurisy, but it wasn't enough fluid for them to draw off. I also have congestive heart failure in my right lung. But I'm supposed to have it in my right lung. I don't claim it. But they did a thoracentesis on me in March. Well, in February, before they did the thoracentesis, they said it wasn't enough fluid for them to drain off and couldn't understand why I was in so much pain. Mm. And I couldn't understand it either. So anyway, in comes fentanyl. I'm so angry about it, okay? I'm very angry about it because before the end of February, I could sing. They put the fentanyl patch on me, and the very next day, I lost my breath, and I couldn't understand. I was breathing just fine walking around here. Why come I can't walk to the bathroom from my hospital bed and then come back and breathe just fine? I understood wearing the oxygen at night because my oxygen does get low at night. But my thing is why am I having these great, I walked in this hospital breathing very well. But the day after they put the fentanyl patch on, and I couldn't get up to go to the bathroom and walk, and they had to put an extension in, and I had to put the extension through the little hole, walk around, and sit down and put the oxygen in my nose so I could catch my breath. I felt like I had been running a marathon, and I felt like, oh, my God, I felt like I don't know. I felt like something was just sucking my breath out of me. And come to find out a month later, after I had been wearing the patch for a month, my best friend who lives next door to me showed me the what the packaging says on the fentanyl. And I think I sent that to you. And it said, because it starts out, because of, something about breathing problems, because of dangerous breathing problems or something like that. And when I read the first line, I said, what do they mean because of dangerous, breathing problems may result? And then I read to the reason why they may. Now, I'm not on opioids. I'm not on any. I'm on gabapentin because I have cervical spinal stenosis with a locked arm, left arm. I I'm like, why did they give this to me? Why did they give this to me? And the reason, when LA told you about me, and the reason I wanted to come on here is because I think we need to be more proactive in our own health and quit listening to all these daggum doctors and what they say that we're supposed to take. Now, I don't smoke, but I can smell my next door neighbor smoking. And I'm in my own apartment, okay? We've got to learn how to read the packaging. We have got to learn how to understand what is on that packaging. We have got to learn how to get these doctors to break stuff down to us, even if we don't understand it. I'm the type of person, if I have a doctor that doesn't listen to me and they think that they know everything, like this white doctor in the hospital did, but couldn't tell me that he was giving me fentanyl and it was going to take my breath away. It could possibly take my breath away to give me the right to make the decision on if I wanted to take it or not. We've got to do better by ourselves. We have to do better by self, because if we don't, we're going to continue to die the way they want us to. And this has been going on for centuries. This has been going on for centuries. And I see it. I grew up in a world of politicians, white ones, presidents. If you look at my page and looked in my photos, you'll see when I was a little girl with the governor of Tennessee, with the president of the United States and the vice president of the United States, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Hubert Horatio Humphrey. This is what I was exposed to. This is what I know. This is one reason, I'm going to get my health better so that I'm able to run against the Republican here in Nashville, because she's got to go. I think that we need representation in a white world that really does not give a damn about us. We need representation here in the state of Tennessee that we're not getting here as well as far as healthcare is concerned. It's really amazing how when I grew up with the famous doctor, Dorothy L. Brown, it's amazing how white people love to grin at me. Oh, isn't she pretty? Don't touch me like that. I'm not a dog. That was what went through my head. She's so this, she's so that. I went to private school with Nelson Rockefeller's granddaughter, who loved me. We've got to take better care of self. And if we don't learn how to take better care of self, what's going to happen is we are going to be the ones who become extinct. Even though Biden recognizes that his European self and people are getting ready to be the minority, if we're not careful, we'll still be in the minority. We'll become extinct. Like an animal. That's what they think of us anyway. You know, so why not? The best way to counter that is to succeed in preservation of self. And that's what you're talking about. That's what you do. And open up our eyes and our ears to alternatives. And I'm sure we'll be speaking again.
Now, are you, one of our callers or listeners is asking me if you know about German New Medicine.
No, I don't. I've never heard of it.
Okay.
And tell them if they want to, they can go to my messenger on Facebook. I am Lola Lodi, L-O-D-I-E. That was my nickname. It's German. Denise Brown, L-O-L-A, and then L-O-D-I-E, and then Denise, D-E-N-I-S-E, Brown.
Okay.
Because there's more than one Lola Brown.
Okay, so I'm glad that Nelson is his name. He was on earlier. She likes, okay, this chart behind me is German New Medicine.
Okay.
I'm a German New Medicine practitioner, and just briefly, I learned about it in 2004 when my my sister who had breast cancer came to live with me, and I met a French woman in a car. We were going to clean houses, actually. We were both working for a natural, healthy cleaning company, and we were both in the back seat of the car talking, and I told her about my sister with breast cancer. And she said, what happened to her, what breast was it, and what happened in her life that caused the breast cancer was the death of her child. Her daughter was hit by a car in 2002, and after she died in the emergency room from a heart attack, German New Medicine teaches that trauma manifests in the brain right away, that type of trauma, watching your only child die of a heart attack on a emergency room. German New Medicine teaches that's the original trauma or Herzheimer effect that they call that causes a lesion in the brain. You can imagine. And then from there, my sister was dealing with grief, unforgiveness, and guilt. And then German New Medicine teaches the phases a person goes through when they don't resolve that trauma. They go through tumors in the body. In her case, she grew tumors in her breast. They go through a release of all kinds of energy hormones in the body. And then if you don't resolve it, like my sister, that cancer ate right through her breast. And then she had two more lesions show up in her brain where she became paralyzed on one side. And this is all in a 9-month period after the diagnosis. And then she passed away in April of 2005. So that's German New Medicine. That's why I study it. I practice it. I help my clients understand the root of their disease is in that trauma that starts in the brain, and if it's not resolved, especially the unforgiveness. My sister, my sister, my sister. If you can just go through, sit down, write down all the events in your life that you need to forgive people or the creator, the POA woman, all of that, you're going to release energy and hormones, energy, endorphins, all kinds of things that will help your body heal. It has been documented. I have a book called The Cancer Report, thick book of testimonies of people who overcame their disease. And one of them, the most powerful one in that book, is about a man who realized after the doctors told him, there's nothing we can do for you. You got like 3 weeks to live, blah, 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 blah. He went through his phone book and started calling people in his phone book, asking them to forgive him, forgiving them. Cancer went in remission. That's just one of the testimonies in that Cancer Report book. And I can, if you're interested in getting that book, my former publisher of a magazine here that I work for, she's the one who sells those. But hearing your story, we are blessed, blessed, blessed beyond measure to hear your testimony and for hearing you share the most intimate parts of your life. Because you are teaching us, again, that number one, German New Medicine is true, it's right, And adverse childhood experiences. Have you ever heard of the ACEs test or the ACEs score?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
This is a study, and you can go on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and type in ACEs information or ACES or adverse childhood experience, there's a black doctor who gives a beautiful lecture on what she discovered about the ACEs and experience, because what it shows is there are 10 questions on this ACEs that Kaiser Permanente did this study, and they found that the more traumatic childhood experiences you have, like the ones you shared with us, the more you have experiences have, the more likely you're going to have a disease like cancer or any other number that you've already shared with us. So when you have the ACEs score in front of you, you take this test, you realize you 10 out of 10 questions, 9 of them you answer yes to. That's why you have cancer. That's why you have any disease, because you have not, and you've already shared with us, you have not resolved or forgiven those events in your life that have triggered hormones in your body. Adrenal gland puts out stress hormones. You're probably full of stress hormones that have contributed to what you're going through in your cancer struggle. So I am so honored. We're so honored for you to have shared all this with us. This is a gift from the universe to help people to understand why we get diseases. You're just amazing, my sister. And I hope that you can take the time to study not only ACEs, but go to YouTube and maybe find out a little bit about German New Medicine. But most important, go through your life journey and forgive. The forgiveness is not for the other person. It's for you to release all that constricted energy that has contributed to your suffering, your disease. Doctors are who they are. They were trained in medical schools. And your mother's training, I'm sure your mother's training was very different from what they do now, because they have more drugs, they have more diseases. And, you know, when we think about race and color, the last 2 years, my sister, I've seen more black doctors recommending vaccines and ridiculous treatments for corona flu virus than any other doctors. So the doctors, and I get a little, like you, I get a little angry, but that's what they were trained to do. They have been the most compliant. In fact, black people in general are the most compliant to this system that you just described is destroying and harming your body.
What just happened?
That we just went out for a minute. That was either my wife. So I am just so grateful that you have been able to share all this with us, because this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I teach about preventing. And this is the truth that you are living, my sister. But I really believe if you can just work on the forgiveness part, that's a big part of the creator, the divine energy in you. And the creator of heaven and earth is waiting for you to forgive and let go of the past. Because it's of no use to you now in this present, where you're trying to heal your body, your mind, and your soul for the journey you had.
And you're not the first person who's told me that. As a matter of fact, my best friend, and I don't think that she's heard of German New Medicine, but I went to a place where they sold crystals, and the guy looked at me. He said, whatever it is, let it go. He did. He said, I don't know what it is, but this last thing, he said, you need to let it go.
And you have a lot to let go, so it's time for you to get out in nature and let the birds, bees, animals help you let it go. Because when you get out in nature, I do yoga in nature every Wednesday on my Facebook Live. When you get out in nature, all that energy is there available for you, and you just have to ask for it, sister. You don't have, they're not going to, they're angels. Your angels are just waiting for you to ask you to help to forgive, number one. Help, because you're going to have need help. It's hard with Ross, I'm sure, to think about all the harm the people have done to you, but you're not a victim anymore. You are a victor, and
right.
It's time for you to take your sovereignty back.
Right.
You've been on this awesome journey, and it's time to take your sovereignty back and take charge and let these doctors do what they do. Your mother, as you said, she was a barterer for your survival, basically. Her skills not only prevented some people from dying, but more than anything, she could use her skills to put food on the table, is what you told us, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different day now. Doctors, let them do.
She didn't get paid.
Right.
Because she got paid very well.
Right.
But a lot of us couldn't do it. We just could not do it. And that's how we paid for our health care. Yeah.
And that's the way it was. Today is a new day. We have different skills now that we can barter. Lots of us. There's so many skills now that we can barter with. And we have to focus on that now. Doctor, the medical system is broken. We call it a sick care system. They'll keep you sick because that's how they make money, right?
Yes, they will.
And
they
so
will.
We have that.
And I'm living proof of it.
And so I'm so grateful to you for coming on. I can't believe the time has gone by, but is there any last words you want to share with us as we say goodbye for this day? And maybe you'll have to come back again as you recover and have a testimony of how you recover.
The only thing that I would like to tell people is please, read the labels. Read the contraindications to medication. Know what when a doctor tells you that they're giving you something, don't just take their word of what it's going to do. Look into it for yourself. Because if you're not, then why are you getting mad at them? Because you're getting sicker.
Amen.
Take care of yourself.
Amen, sister. Thank you so much. Let me say a prayer for you. If you don't mind.
We've come to the end of
Heavenly
our show.
Father, okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Lola Brown. And we ask you now to send every angel, every messenger in your forces to her assistance to help her overcome the sick care system that she's been in and overcome the abuses and all the trauma she's been through. We just trust in you, Heavenly Father, to help Lola heal her body and send all the necessary help that she needs right now to do that. And we look forward to her coming back with a victory story and a healing story. And we just bless her right now with love, 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 and lots of light. Right, wisdom to rise up in her, love to rise up in her, to really take charge of her health and love herself even more. And we give thanks and praise to you, O Father, O King, King of Kings, Master of Masters, Creator of the universe. Go now and help our sister Lola to recover from all the abuses. So in the name of every minute, Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, all, we send help and energy. I love you. Love you, sister. I'm going to keep in touch and make sure you stay on the right path now.
Thank you, Iyada. And if you can you send me a picture of the chart behind you?
I sure can, yes. I will.
Or tell me where to get them.
Actually, I tell you where you can go on. You can go on YouTube, and I'm going to send you the website for that. This clip.
Okay.
I'll send you their website.
Yeah,
all
send
right.
It to my phone and not the email.
Yeah.
I'm going to email very much.
Yes, dear, I will. Love you so much. You are such a special messenger for all of us. Thank you, and may Yahuwah bless you.
End of our show today. We'll talk you can hear soon. Every okay. show in the archive
right.
at
Love
www.blogtalkradio.com.
All right, and we have a beautiful weekday life coming your way.
You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
To
thank
our
you.
Family in China, Xiexie.
Xiexie.
India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato.
Arigato.
Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jeonkunyeon. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Beautiful day, and many blessings, Shalom.